through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
You were actually wielding Crack'em there like a shield for a second, Tim. Hello.
Crack'em is a shield against ignorance, boredom, and a lack of entertainment on campus.
Exactly. Shout outs to Crack'em.
Shout outs to Crack'em. Kia ora to especially Crack'em.
Good morning to everyone, especially Crack'em. How are you? What's happening in the media? What's happening in the world?
Well, Back in Focus is kind of the issue that kicked off this whole segment, really, when I got started.
It is, really.
All those moons ago. Over a year ago, the rumoured, legend, mythologised TVNZ-RNZ merger, which is definitely still happening.
It's just become a phrase that I hear just ringing out in the news every now and then, that it's almost lost all meaning.
What does it mean? What does it mean? It was first mentioned over a year ago. Chris Farfoy, they don't trust him with anything. Chris Farfoy, who's the Minister for Broadcasting, was like, hey, yo, we've got this idea. We're going to completely bring TVNZ and RNZ down and in their ashes create a new public media entity. And everyone was like, whoa, that's pretty bold. And he's like, yeah, and we're doing it real quickly. And then no one heard anything ever again for quite a while. And then we had COVID, so everything got paused for a while.
I was going to say, to be fair, a pandemic did get in the way.
It's true. Be fair to the government. It's true. It's true. They had some big fish to fry there. So originally, they had commissioned PricewaterhouseCoopers to do a bunch of work on the sort of feasibility of this and how to get it done. That's been shifted over to Deloitte now. And now it's at the stage where a business case is being made for the minister by this group of eight, which is being led by Tracy Martin, who's the deputy leader of New Zealand First, former minister, and she's pretty onto it. So, you know, she's been specifically put in that role, quote unquote, because she gets stuff done.
Ooh.
And this is sort of reflective of, I think, the government's appetite to actually see this through. They're still saying that they want this new entity to be up and running by 2023.
That's not that far away.
It seems crazy to me. So there's a lot of kind of like facets of this. One really interesting thing is sort of the speed now that it has kicked back up. Because this cabinet paper that Chris Farfoy is after, he's wanting by the middle of this year, which would be like how this thing is going to work it is that he can bring to cabinet to see if they can start getting it done. What we know so far is that it's going to have a combination of Crown and other revenue, and what that means is ads.
Okay.
So that's similar to how TVNZ operates at the moment. They're a state-owned entity, but they do take private money from advertisers. Radio New Zealand have never engaged in that sort of thing, that sort of carry-on. And obviously it creates a lot of differences, I was going to say challenges, but differences between how RNZ has formally operated. You've got to make a lot of considerations when you start taking corporate money, obviously, when you start taking advertising revenue. And it kind of can't help but diminish your ability to be completely independent of what anyone else thinks. There was an open letter that was published in the newsroom. This is from an anonymous RNZ employee who's basically sounding the alarm over how this is going.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is, TVNZ's chief executive, Kevin Kendrick, doesn't seem to know anything about what's happening, but is just kind of casually on board. And RNZ's chair is super on board. But staff members from within RNZ, at least some of them, seem to be a little more nervous. This open letter that was published, I recommend if people are into this sort of thing, you give it a read. I know it's on the newsroom.co.nz. They stated that none of the members of this governance board that's under Tracy Martin making the business plan, making the charter of the new entity, there's no radio people on it. There's like an academic, there's a few TV people, there's other sort of media former chairpersons, but there's no sort of specific radio people on there.
That feels like a problem, maybe.
It does, to me. They made the case that publicly funded radio has been proved as a medium uniquely suited for crises. You know, like we've just had COVID.
Yeah.
And the death of radio has been sort of talked about for a long time as if it's just about to happen. And it keeps just not happening.
We are the cockroach of media. We will
it's
never
crazy.
Die.
It's crazy. Truly. Truly. Like, I wouldn't pick that specific analogy, but more like the Terminator, right?
We are
it
the
keeps
Terminator.
Getting attacked on all fronts and it just keeps getting up. and surviving and going and thriving. And RNZ had a bumper year last year. It was the first radio station in New Zealand ever to record 700,000 listeners cume, I think. They broke some sort of record.
What does that mean, cume?
Oh, sorry, cume is cumulative listeners.
Oh, okay. So,
and cute little BFM doesn't know about ratings, but in the other commercial radio world, everything gets run by like cume and time spent listening, TSL, all these stupid numbers so that they can put it in the Herald twice a year to say, hey, you should put your ads on our radio station. Now, it's bloody good. You guys are on the right side of history. Don't get me wrong.
Thank you.
But all of that to say, like, RNZ's really proved itself as this incredibly capable and important institution, and the way that it runs, I think, is a part of that. And this is threatening in a very existential way how it runs and what it's all about.
So what's the point of this merger? Why are they setting out on it in the first place?
My perception from everything I've read is the government trying to go, hey, we need to serve all New Zealanders and we need to future-proof this. And radio feels old school and like we're missing some target demos within the population of the country, which, to be fair to the government, they are. Like, there is a very specific band of people that listen to Radio New Zealand, and they're sort of the staffer at RNZ in this anonymous open letter. They sort of address that in a way by saying, like, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but you can't cater to absolutely everyone. Mm. Like, we've got this really good product there, but you can't cater to absolutely everyone in the country simultaneously without making some huge cuts in other areas.
Yeah.
So that's happening.
Mm-hmm. That's a big happening. Sounds like we'll be watching that space. Any other happenings going on in the world at the moment, Tim?
There's this thing that's been bubbling away for a little while, actually. AUT's Pacific Media Centre got either closed or moved, depending on who you ask.
Ooh.
So the Pacific Media Centre within AUT has been going for over a decade, incredibly highly regarded. They've won awards, they've done amazing work under the leadership of this guy, Professor David Robbie, and he retired in December last year. And suddenly all the physical offices got packed up without any formal notification to staff.
Far out.
And they got shifted to another bit of the building, maybe. But all the staff working in the Pacific Media Centre are like, we don't know what's going on. No one's talked to us. Are we shut? Because they froze operations. They didn't have a succession plan for a new leader.
They've Crikey.
Advertised internally only for a really short time frame to see if anyone's interested in the role to lead the thing. But it's at a minimum not a good look in terms of the communication that's gone on around it. And there's some people saying that it's like management have tried to shut it down, but they haven't been successful, and it's quite bad. So they're looking
for they're
looking for new leadership at the moment. And you know, Pacific journalism is something that's always chronically underfunded.
Totally.
It's super important for a number of reasons. I think as we have more conversations about decolonizing ourselves, and what our sort of history of colonization means and what it's meant for the Pacific, it's really important from a cultural sense. But also there's like other things that are quite sort of scientific and firm, like the climate crisis. We're going to need some really schooled up, strong news teams that are measuring what's going on in the Pacific region as like the ocean level rises.
Literally, yeah.
Literally, like these really important tasks that news teams do. So that's just something that's been evolving with a lot of criticism against AUT and how they've handled this over the last couple of months. And I hope that they can sort of come through this strong and with a good new leader there.
It'll be really
attention.
Good to see that, hopefully.
And speaking of things to watch and see, the New Zealand Comedy Festival is coming up, and you should buy tickets to my show.
When is it, Tim?
It's I think it starts on the 11th of May.
Okay.
My show. It's called Classy Warfare.
You should probably know that.
I should definitely know that.
Classy Warfare. People expect? Jokes?
Me trying to solve the housing crisis with LSD,
cool.
I guess.
Nice.
Would be the shortest way of putting it.
Excellent.
Just, you know, having a guess about what's wrong with the world and how we should all be doing more drugs, basically.
Cool.
That sounds like a bit of you.
Sounds like Classy Warfare.
Tim Batt. Google me. Buy tickets.
Google Tim. Buy some tickets. 11th of May. Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, Tim. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Rachel.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat. Only on 95 BFM.
All right.